The first reading for the Feast of All Saints is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and honor and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for as they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's message was the first lesson from the book of Revelation. A certain man died and he went to heaven. And St. Peter asked him what was his IQ. And the man said, 160. St. Peter says, "Well, that's great. Then we can discuss Planck's constants, quantum physics, and black holes." Second man came up, was asked the same question, "Where's your IQ?" And he said, 140. And St. Peter replied, "Wonderful. Then we can have conversations about Renaissance art and music." Third man came up, was asked his IQ, and he said, 75. St. Peter scratched his beard, thought about it, and says, "How about them bears?" Is it connected to the sermon? Slightly, but it was just funny. I had to share that one. Last week, of course, was Reformation Sunday. And we looked again at the idea that we are saved by grace through faith, not based on our own works at all. The church stands or falls on that doctrine alone. And that doctrine is still what divides the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church. For some people, being Lutheran means not being too Catholic. They look at the sign of the cross or liturgy or private confession as being too Catholic. I actually heard a preacher on YouTube of a fairly large-sized church saying that if you believe in the sign of the cross, liturgy, and private confession, then you haven't grasped the true meaning of the Reformation. You know, I like watching stuff on YouTube because I can say what I want and nobody can hear me. But what's that have to do with today? Today is All Saints Day. And some think saints are just too Catholic for us to recognize. But the theme for today's message is thanking God for all the saints. The Reformation did not do away with everything that was Catholic. Instead, it cleaned it up. It kept whatever was not obscuring the gospel. Luther corrected what needed to be corrected. And we keep the sign of the cross. We keep the liturgy. We keep chanting. We keep private confession. It's all kept. Even Luther had to clean up All Saints Day because the Catholics taught that the righteousness of saints were given to you that made you righteous. We believe that we are made righteous because of what Christ has done for us. The apology to the Augsburg Confession says, "We maintain that we dare not trust in the transfer of saints' merits to us, as though God were reconciled to us or accounted us righteous or saved on this account. We obtain the forgiveness of sins only by Christ's merits when we believe in him." But we still hold saints in a high regard, even if we don't believe that their righteousness is given to us. The Augsburg Confession says, "It is taught among us that the saints should be kept in remembrance." The apology says, "Our confessions approve giving honor to the saints." And Luther himself held the saints in great regard when he said, "Next to Holy Scripture," notice not equal to, but next to Holy Scripture, "there is certainly no more useful book for Christians to study than that of the lives of the saints." What do we mean by saints? Well, in the very broad sense, all Christians are saints. St. Paul writes of the saints in Philippi and Ephesus. Saint just means holy one. And we're made holy by the death of Christ on the cross. And it doesn't give us bragging rights because grace is entirely given to us because of Christ. So we have no reason to brag. Luther writes it this way, "Just as we should not deny that we are baptized and Christians, so we should not deny or doubt that we are holy. It would be well to impress this deeply on people and to accustom them not to be shocked at it or hesitate to accept it. For when Christians call themselves holy after Christ, this is not arrogance. It is praising and honoring God. For therefore we do not praise the unpleasant holiness of our own works, but his baptism, word, grace, and spirit, which we do not have of ourselves. He gave it to us." Today we focus on all the saints. And it's easy to think of the saints. We think of St. Andrew, St. Mary, St. Matthew, St. Paul, or St. Peter. But do we dare add our own name to the list? Do you consider yourselves saints? Or you say, "No, I'm too flawed. I've done too much. I'm certainly not, quote, as good as Paul or Peter or list any of the other saints." But we even sing about the fact that we want to be in the saints. If I could sing, I would. But let's see if you know the next line. "Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, Lord." Yes, I want to be in that number. Thank you, Sharon. Of course we want to be in that number. But how do we get there? There's another song by Stevie Wonder that the refrain says it all. "Signed, sealed, and delivered." At our baptism, the sign of the cross was made upon us to mark us as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. You were made a child of God at your baptism. We were signed that we belonged to God. We were sealed by the power of his Holy Spirit. Sealed with God's protective umbrella over us. That doesn't mean we won't have troubles in this world. What it means is when we live under God's protective umbrella, that nothing can snatch us from the love of God. The Bible makes it clear that we are saints. In book of Revelation, chapter 7, John's given a vision of the church triumphant. He says they are clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. For these are those who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." We become saints by the blood of the Lamb. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." Jesus made the perfect sacrifice. The price was paid to set us free. So by the blood of the Lamb, you have been set free from the power of sin, death, and the devil. Christ's robe of righteousness is placed on us at our baptism. That's why many times, not in all cases, but in many times, the baby's dressed in a white gown. It's to symbolize Christ's robe of righteousness. So all Christians are, in essence, saints. Now, we especially use the term saints for those who have died in the faith. We thank God for their lives, their good example, and their living faith. We especially thank God for the saints that we do know, St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Matthew, and all the other ones that I can think of from the New Testament and Old Testament. We try to strive to follow their example by faith and good works. We benefit from the fact that they are forgiven sinners. Remember, saints doesn't mean a perfect human being. We talk about St. Peter, but yet he denied Christ. We talk about St. Paul, but yet he persecuted Christians. We talk about St. David, but he killed Uriah the Hittite to have his wife Bathsheba. We talk about St. Matthew, but he was a crooked tax collector. See, God is in the business of turning sinners into saints. And think of how God used a couple of the examples I just listed. For Peter, he used him at the great sermon at Pentecost, where 3,000 came to the faith. Or Paul, who preached throughout the entire Mediterranean, finally ending up in Rome itself. We have saints like hymn writers like St. Ambrose, Bernard of Clairvaux, missionaries like St. Patrick, go Irish, St. Boniface, long before Luther, but still part of our heritage. Now, history does not record all the saints who have ever lived. We may not know them all, but God knows them. And in our hearts we hold a sainted grandparent, parent, or spouse. We thank God for them. We thank God for all the saints of old, the saints that we know, and the saints that we don't know. Because in faith in Jesus Christ, we'll join that wondrous band of believers, singing God's praises forever and saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen. Blessing and honor and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.